your depression might look very different from mine. But it doesn't mean that we don't both walk that place that's darker than it ought to be, right? Anxiety looks different for you than it does for me, than it does for the 5-year-old, than it does for the 80-year-old. But anxiety is still the same. And if you don't treat it, it becomes so many other things. You know, happiness is a decision that you make sometimes, right?
Yeah.
I recognize that depression is very real, and I'm never, ever going to knock anyone that suffers with depression because I've seen it for myself. Right. We're losing an average of 22 military personnel a day to suicide. Why? Where's that mental health assistance in that? Where's that immediate need to address that? We got teenagers, we got youth suicide. The numbers are astronomical. That shouldn't be real. Right. I think what you see a lot of times in adults later in life, 40, 50, that their families fall apart, they fall apart, their jobs fall apart. So many times that's mental health that should have been looked at when they were 15. I have a business called Enlighten Up, and we just come alongside you and help you recognize that you have a story to write that no one else can write.
Yeah, because you know, when we say, like, you know, the travesty of our mental health system, so what do you define by that?
You know, it's just, it's so hard to connect. One of the things that we really worked at, I worked with an agency called Team Builders, and they were phenomenal at a program called Comprehensive Community Support, where you could walk into one building and you could be connected to whatever mental and life health services you needed. Okay, yeah. If it was behavioral health, psych services, food, electricity, housing, whatever you needed, you could access under one roof. Very, very difficult to find that in most places in the United States. I believe we've had a huge explosion in mental health in the last couple of years.
Yeah,
a lot of it has really come to light and come to the surface. And it's a hard system to navigate.
Yes, I think what I think about mental health, I think there's a lot of confusion as well. I think there's people that actually really suffer from mental health. And it's also people, I don't know if they kind of use it as an excuse. We live in a time where instead of trying to help people because they actually need support, and if people just trying to use it just for, I don't know if it's for the person again, or just like for other people to kind of feel bad about them, to just, is it like, yes, right. That's right.
Throw that off so much was, oh, well, that's my mental health. I wasn't managing my mental health, or, oh, look, they're suffering from a mental health crisis. And it's easy to throw that off as sort of a scapegoat blanket excuse for bad behavior and bad choices. But if you ever are a person that is trying to manage your own mental and emotional health, then it's something very different than that. Right. And it looks very different for everybody. Your depression might look very different from mine, but it doesn't mean that we don't both walk that place that's darker than it ought to be, right? Anxiety looks different for you than it does for me, than it does for the 5-year-old, than it does for the 80-year-old, but anxiety is still the same. And if you don't treat it, it becomes so many other things. It can make you physically ill so many times. When you go back and own what's underneath, the physical illness goes away. It's just a band-aid. It's a way of coming out.
But do you think as a society today, we're in a better place than before? Do you think the way we are talking about mental health today, do you think this is like we are going somewhere, or is it like, because at the first year, I think you have to go back like 3-4 years when the conversation started. I think it was very like, you know, but do you think today we are going to the right direction when you see today's society?
I think there's so much more of it than we expected in today's society that the system is overwhelmed with the need. I think 3 or 4 years ago, before all the pandemic and all the things that have brought about this new wave of mental health, I think before that all started, society was finally coming back around to a place where it was okay to not be okay for a minute, right? It was okay to get well. It was okay to seek that out. There were places you could go and people offering space for you to come just understand and get better there. And then I think, then there was a lot of fear around it. Well, I can't let anybody know I was afraid, or now just because I was locked down, now this has happened. And so everybody's seeking permission, I think, at this point. Is it okay to feel like that? Can I say that? Can I ask for that over there? And so there's so much need right now for permission to get better or to own where you are. So I think we need to come back around. to that place where it's okay.
But you don't think like it's actually that fake? Because I know the way society is going today, we are trying to mix like mental health with the whole people being like very sensitive about the way we express ourselves. I mean, our relationship with each other, actually, you know, the way we socialize with each other, I feel like this have like a huge impact as well. Because you see, today people are more careful about the way they treat each other, the way the words that they say is all good, but it's stopping people to kind of like be themselves as well, to express, to just be natural with each other. I don't know if you noticed that as well. And we see in many areas, as soon as somebody says something, everybody just being sensitive because this. They always use that excuse of, oh, you know, I'm not mentally, you know, prepared to have this kind of conversation, or this is very, yeah.
Right. Oh, I agree with you. I agree. I think it is just, I think we use it as a weapon. I think we use it as an excuse. I think we use it as so many things other than just the state of where we are, right? If you've never owned anxiety and you have these emotions or these feelings or these places that you go in your head and your heart that you can't explain, sometimes it makes you feel less crazy for there to be a definition for you to go, okay, so I'm not crazy because that happens, right? I can go ahead and talk about that. That doesn't make me separate me over here and give me yet another thing I have to ask permission for. Yeah. And so I think the reality of it helps a lot. I think how we manage the youth behavioral health that we're seeing, the mental health crisis in our youth right now, I think how we handle that is critical.
Well, how do you think we handle that in general?
I think we let them know that it's okay to be scared, to be confused, to need to be heard. I think we let them know that that's okay to start with.
Yeah. I mean, that's bad, actually. That's what you're trying to say.
Oh, it's bad to make them feel like they're wrong or they're stigmatized or it's terrible for us to make them feel like they're wrong or they're bad or they're less than because they suffer with that. Or because they struggle with that. We need to make it, again, with our youth, to be okay to not be okay. That's the only way you get better, right?
Go on.
Yeah, I mean, you either win or you learn. You don't fail. And until we get that understood with them, I think it's a lot of the message we put out.
Okay, so you're saying like the way we are doing now is more like to make them feel like it's okay to feel that way.
We need to make it okay to feel that way, right? So they're not afraid to admit how they feel so they can find that place to get better. Right. I think what you see a lot of times in adults later in life, 40, 50, that their families fall apart, they fall apart, their jobs fall apart. So many times that's mental health that should have been looked at when they were 15. Hmm. Right. And instead they've had to grow up in this place where they had to make that okay to feel normal. And at some point it just is not okay anymore. And so we need to make it okay to get better. We need to make it okay for our kids to go, I'm confused about that, or I don't understand that, or that makes me sad, or, you know, that makes me want to punch baby chickens, whatever it is. We need to be okay with those emotions so we can own them. Then they can get better. Yeah. They don't become an excuse.
I mean, I think rather than trying to fix it that way, what we're doing today, we are trying to use it as a weapon to make it as an excuse every time people do certain things who are not right, then people just use the whole mental health, you know, like, oh, you know, I think I wasn't mentally good, or I just stressed out. Or I think even at the workplace, people use that a lot, actually, you know. I think it's something like even manager they struggle with, because as soon as somebody start using the mental health line, and you know, even manager, people are just very sensitive about it, because you know, you can't really touch it. I think with children, there's two things, as you say, we have to tell them like they are. It's okay to feel that way, but it's not okay to actually identify yourself permanently as that person. And this is the problem that we have today.
Exactly.
People are just like, oh, you know what? This is who I am. And this is, I'm like, no, like you have to be like, it's something like you don't have to be, it's not like you don't have to be proud of it. It's something like, you know, like it's a problem that you acknowledge and you're trying to fix it. It's not like your identity. And the people today, they define it as their identity. They are very sensitive. They are this. And this is why we are growing up like, I mean, children today are growing up in a society where everybody is sensitive, because people really embrace it. And it's very hard to kind of like make people, I mean, as much as we are learning to fight mental health, I feel like we are walking backward, because people are becoming weaker and weaker.
I agree.
They acknowledge, you know, the more they acknowledge a problem, instead of fighting, they just it's like you identify yourself like you are weak. You just say, you know what, I'm weak. Every time you're unable to do something, you use that excuse of, oh, you know what, I'm not able to achieve this because this is what I suffer for this, and everybody just, oh yeah, we understand. I think that's what happened to that.
I agree. About 20 years ago, I took a bunch of kids, 30, to Australia for a dance competition. And we came from a little town in New Mexico, and we got the invitation. I took it to them, and they said, oh, Miss Stacy, we can't do that. We're from this little town in New Mexico. We can't go to Australia. And I said, you know, we're going now, right? Just because you think we can't, you know, we're going. And so we set out on this beautiful quest to go. And we made business cards and t-shirts for all the kids that say, if you want something, you'll find an excuse. If you don't, if you want something, you'll find a way. If not, you'll find an excuse. And I think that so holds true to the life we're walking in today. So many people have found an excuse recently to get out of work, to get out of family, to get out of jobs, to get out of responsibility, to get out of how they feel, to get out of the outcome of that situation. And it's excuse after excuse versus owning the behavior, owning where we are. How do we fix it? How do we move on from here? And I think that's one of the things that we really have to teach our kids that are growing up in this place where we're emphasizing behavioral health. We're emphasizing the need for mental health treatment. It's critical. Right. Some people desperately need it, but for some people, that's holding a bunny rabbit and taking a walk outside. It's not about medication.
And a lot of people, they actually use it for attention as well. It's something like I've seen on Facebook a lot. You can have people posting things like, oh, you know what? Oh, I'm having a breakdown. I think people just use it because they want to have that attention for people. Like, you just want people to react. And sometimes they have a breakdown or something. They just like, instead of trying to find help or help them themselves, they're trying to be around people that actually feel bad about them, you know, because of the way they feel. And then it's like, when you observe those people, they're not really like in the process of healing. It's more like they just want to be that person, blame everything in their life based on whatever they suffer. And they just accept, they only accept people that can understand the situation and just like feel sorry for them. It's like every time people feel sorry for them, it then make them feel good, or it just give them some self-worth. That's what I feel. And every time you're trying to tell them about, okay, you suffer with this, but you need to be this, and they just get offended. Now they're going to say, oh, you know what? You don't understand all the breakdown. That's what I've noticed.
I think that that's absolutely does cover a population of people that use it for their own need to be loved, or their own need to be recognized, right? Or coddled, or for whatever that is. We use it for lots and lots of different excuses, right? I think. But I think if you ever really try to navigate, like my mom, okay, I'm going to use her as an example. She's 85. She's had two strokes. She's very limited at what she can do physically, but that doesn't mean that her brain is not 100 still percent a diva. Okay.
Yeah.
She wants it. And so the anxiety that builds in my mom about her inability to move forward and to do things for herself causes her great strife. It affects her heart. It affects her physical being. And so seeking out psychiatric services for my mom to help manage her anxiety so that she can function better in her world is important for her, right? That's going to help her not just tizzy herself to death, because that's exactly what she'll do. So I think that there's instances where it's vitally important, right, that we address that. But if you look at the scope of just of the United States, alone spends more money. Let me put it a different way. Last year alone, there were 243 million prescriptions for antidepressants in the United States alone.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Yes, it is a lot. That's
a lot, right? And so, you know, happiness is a decision that you make sometimes, right?
Yeah.
I recognize that depression is very real, and I'm never, ever going to knock anyone that suffers with depression, because I've seen it for myself in people be debilitating until they own it. But again, it can be turned around also and is used an excuse to get some great drugs and use it as an excuse for bad behavior. But when you're seeking those services, I sought out to get those services for my mom. Just the wait for an adult is 4 months, just to intake, just for an interview to see if you can have services. For children, the wait is 16 months. That's a long time for a kid that needs some help, right? A child that's suicidal, a child that's scared and confused, 16 months is too long to wait. We lose so many, right? We're losing an average of 22 military personnel a day to suicide. Why? Where's that mental health assistance in that? Where's that immediate need to address that? We got teenagers, we got youth suicide the numbers are astronomical. That shouldn't be real.
Yeah, so I think
that needs to be addressed. How do we address that side of mental health?
Yeah, it's true, because as much as we talk about mental health, I think we don't really talk about how many actually kids take their life away. People don't really have that conversation. It's something really dark, and people don't, I feel like society don't really want to know why people are acting that way, why we see a lot of, what do you think is it for? Is it just because maybe the approach that we have with the mental health is not correct?
I think maybe the mental health is part of it, but I think they see a world where they're given no hope, right? They look at this world and they're told that it's this dark, dangerous, dastardly place, and they're never going to have what their parents have, and they're isolated from their peers, and they feel very separated. And I think we have to recognize what that's doing, and that, right, kids shouldn't want to die. That should not be your first option.
But right? Maybe because kids are feeling like, even if you see the amount of kids actually taking their life away today, and if you go back 30, 40 years ago, you're going to realize before it wasn't as much as today.
Right, right.
Maybe because like today, I think children, they are growing up so quick. They're starting to experience the adult life in a very young age. And the fact society is giving them, the government, everybody, they're giving them too much right. And then we feel like parents, they are starting to detach from the children in a very early age. Like instead of the kids turning like 18 or 16 or becoming like, you know, deciding, okay, you know what, now I can try to do things on my own. But now it's like, even when they're 10 or they're 9, they already feel like they have the right to do something. And a parent, sometimes they don't have enough power, because if you do something, they're going to say like you're abusing them, or if you like, it's just, you don't know how to, and it's just like they're actually raising themselves. Like, as much as you want to try as a parent, you're going to be qualified for somebody who is like a little bit extreme, or you're just going to be like way too relaxed with them. I think that's why children are like, they don't have hope, and they don't know how to communicate with them as well, because as parents, we are scared of them as well.
We get afraid because they've passed these crazy laws that make it illegal to look in your children's backpack. But at the end of the day, I bought the backpack. It's my backpack.
You see how crazy it is? Yeah.
Right? So it's my backpack. And I tell parents, I work with parents all the time, and I go, when they close the door, open the door. If they close it again, take it off the hinges. That's them asking you to come in, but they don't know how to say that because that makes them different, right? Kids need us to be there. Kids shouldn't want to die. Adults shouldn't want to die, right? Yeah. One of the things we learn is that when someone, if that's their intention, they've decided, then they don't reach out. They don't let somebody know. They don't make that last minute phone call. They don't tell a friend. They just do it. They come in, sit down, have family with the dinner, go out in the garage and take the gun, right? They call everybody, tell them they love them. They go outside and they raise the button and they hang themselves, because that's their decision. They've already decided. People that don't want that to make that decision, they reach out.
Yeah, I think people when they don't reach out, they will do those things because they feel like they don't belong to this world. They feel like they don't have no worth. And as I say, there is no, that connection is not there.
Right. Hope is so simple, right? If you set your alarm for the next day, the next morning, if you make a doctor's appointment a week down the road, that's hope. Because you're hoping that day's going to come. You're hoping tomorrow's going to come. You're hoping you're going to make that doctor's appointment. We don't see that as hope. Right? We need hope to be this big burning bush, like wisdom. I've got all this hope, but sometimes hope is so small that I want tomorrow to be here. And when you help people recognize that that's what hope looks like, then they begin to believe again that there is hope, that they do have some. And I think that's where it starts, is teaching people what's inside them, right? Of all the things in the world, all the stars, all the fish, all the whatever, God looked down and decided the world needed one of you. And there's a reason for that. And if you never believe in that, then you never get to dance your dance. You never get to write the story.
Yeah, but that's the thing about God as well. Because, you know, when you mentioned God, are you religious? I believe. Are you religious?
I am a Christian.
Are you a Christian? I'm a Christian as well.
Yeah, yes. I won't say religious because I think that steers people away from the relationship with God.
Yeah, but the thing is, that's the thing as well, because I'm glad that we talk about it as well, because as much as we want to talk about mental health, all those things, as a human being, we have to understand, like, we are physical. We have, like, our soul as well. The soul exists. We have our spirit. It's something that we cannot ignore. As I always say to people, the same way as we feed our body, you have to feed your soul and your spirit as well. Amen. Like, that's why when you mix all of that, it's just part of who we are as a person. So when you only feed one part, you're going to have the imbalance, and then people start feeling empty inside, you know, to have all those kind of feeling. But, and then again, those kind of things to their parents is very hard for them, like, even if they're Christian, to really have those open conversation with children, especially when they are so open about today's society as well. And this is just adding more pressure on the way children are today. There's no guidance, strong guidance.
I think you start those conversations when they're little, you know, raise your children up in the way that they should go, right? Mm. I think you start those conversations little, you introduce them, you show them your truth, you live it, you let them see by how you live your life, right? Kids are going to learn, and people in general, right? You and I can have this conversation and 112 people can play it. They're going to remember 7% of what you and I say, but they're going to remember 93% of how it made them feel. Mm. Right? And so kids are the same way. They're going to hear part of what you're saying. Part of it's going to go right over their head like it did when our parents spoke to us, but they're going to watch you. They're going to watch, what do you depend on? Where's your hope come from? How do you manage it? How do you pull your bootstraps up? What do you do in a crisis? What do the people around me do? And that's what they're going to see. And that's where they're going to learn most of their coping skills, is by watching how you cope. Where's that?
Yeah, I agree. Because as much as we want to talk about mental health today, as much as, like, government, you know, society want to change things, you know, about children, it's just funny because they are not putting the parent in the conversation. Like, right. We talk about everything, trying to help, and, you know, the government putting a lot of money, but it's like they are not adding parent in the conversation, because I feel like everything have to be sorted in the house, you know, like that's where they live, that's where they sleep. So if everything is good in the house, when they go outside, can you imagine every parent they're putting their work? When kids go outside, you know, we're going to live like in a better place, and the world going to be safe, because even when you go outside, the children who are killing each other because of the gang and all these things going on, they have a family. They're just like normal kids as well. It just happened for them to be around, like, the, you know, wrong people. But if everybody can put that energy, every single house, and you're just going to have around us, like, you know, people with good morality as well. That's how I see things. But it just sad, like, parents, they are not part of the conversation.
It was shocking to me during the pandemic. And, you know, maybe it's because of how I feel about being a parent. It's my favorite thing I've ever done, right? I loved being a parent. I love my children. Watching them be adults is a blast for me. But I was so surprised at how many parents had a really, really difficult time staying home with their children. Yes, they didn't know who they were, right? Like, how do I feed my children? How do I educate them? They hadn't been around them for 40 hours since they went to kindergarten. Mm. You know, and they didn't even know who those little people were. And I think that's sad if you don't know who those people are that live in your house, right? Those are your children.
I think it's because the way society is built is, you work hard, like you leave your house, I don't know, at 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. You go to work, you come, if you're doing a 9-to-5, of course, if you're doing a 9-to-5, and then the time you're going to work and the kids are going to school, they come back, you just see each other at night, and you have to go back to sleep. And the weekend, you are tired. Sometimes you just give them the iPad, they're on the computer. We don't really have that time. It's just like that time to connect and just be together. And especially even if you're not Christian as well, is even worse, because at least if you're a Christian or religious or Muslim, whatever, you're always going to have that time, maybe on Sunday, to go to church. You are forced to have that time where you sit and you pray. You are forced to have it. And it's kind of like good. But if you don't do that, I don't see how parents really have time to spend with the children unless they're on holiday. And again, when on holiday, everybody's busy taking picture or just being online. So it's like, that's why the pandemic was very shocking for a lot of parents.
Oh, I agree. And I think it's one of those things that, I mean, as you grow older, you get to my point in life where I've got grandchildren, and you look back and you recognize you make time for what you want to make time for in your life.
I agree.
Right. And we can say we're too busy and we don't have time, but we do. If you've got time to go to the mall or go shop or go hunt or go on a cruise, you have time.
Yeah.
Right. We have time for what we decide is important, whatever that is. Right. But I know that there are so many people right now that are struggling with mental health issues that are a year from being able to get services. I think there's a lot of places online right now where you can go and actually seek out and get some assistance with that. And I think that's great. I think everybody needs access to that. But I do think you have to be very careful. I do think, hang on just a second. You do have to be very careful, you know, and not use them as an excuse for bad behavior or poor decision-making skills or the way your children turn out or right, how you treat your mom in her golden years. I think we can use it as an excuse if we're not careful.
Or sometimes you see your kids acting a certain way, you're just going to let them be that because it'd be like, oh, you know what, because, you know, I have to be very sensitive with them because the way they are or whatever. I think sometimes parents just let things go because of, I think people are very confused about the whole mental health. People, maybe we discover it, but we don't know how to deal with it, like how to respond to it.
Right.
It's like somebody who is not well. I can imagine, like, I think that was a tradition before. I don't know if today is the same. Like before, when you have somebody in the family who is not well, when you're around a person, sometimes you have to make them forget like they're not well. You know, you just have to act like they're normal, like everybody. And you give them more hope and you make them feel more like normal. And then sometimes you actually help them in the process of the healing process as well when you do that. You see? But if you're around a person, just remind them, oh my God, you are getting skinny now. Oh, you're so tired. Or, you know, they're just going to get depressed. And this is actually what we're doing today when we see people suffering from mental health as well. The conversation that we're having with them is like, just, we're feeling sorry for them. We just remind them how, you know, how weak they are or how unstable they are. And it just like, you just feed them and they just stay to that stage. They don't really try to move and then become better. That's what I believe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think it's just something that we all have to decide how we feel about it. You have to own that and be able to just stand beside someone and go, you know, that's okay. I get where you're at. And I think that's all you could do, right? You can, and own your own. It's so wrapped together, right? Your mental health, your spiritual health, your emotional health, your physical health, all four of those things are tied together. And if you neglect your physical health, your mental health, your emotional health, all begin to suffer as you find that weakness. But I think it goes the other way. If you neglect yourself completely emotionally, then your mental health suffers and your physical health suffers. And so you have to make sure that all sides of that are maintained.
But parent, you know, when parents, they don't go through that process, do you think it's easier for parents who haven't been to that process of mental health healing? Is it not challenging for them, like to kind of help the children in those areas?
I think parenting is challenging, period, right? One thing that kids don't come with is a user's manual, right? There's no owner's guide. There's no, when your child faces a situation, how do you manage it? We have the Bible, we have that as a guide, but it's a pretty broad guide when it comes down to an individual specific problem. You and I both know that, right?
Yeah.
As we look at that. And so I think it's learning, right? I know that when my daughter went through recovery, right? We had an addicted teenager and we found a beautiful program for her to go through recovery. And we had an option as a family to walk through recovery with her. And I think it was necessary because addiction is not an individual problem. It affects an average of 27 other lives around you. And I think mental health is the same way. If you're not willing to understand what that's about for them and how to make that better, what your part is in it, then you lay all of that responsibility on a child that can't even explain it. So I think the parents have to be willing to learn and to understand what that's about for them and how do we get better.
Yes, totally. So I think in the subject as well, I think on the message you did mention something about school. I know we're not going to talk about school today, but just like, I just wanted to add something about it. But do you think like today school should do better than what they're actually doing today, like in terms of the process of the mental health? Is that us as adults, we spend much time at work than with our family. Like, you know, I have a child today, but I spend more time with my colleague than I spend with my own family. I believe it's kind of the same with children today as well. They spend a lot of time in school, you know, more time than they spend with their parents. But do you think school today, is it part of the problem as well?
You know, again, that's a whole different conversation for you not to have one day. Because I think currently right now with educational environment we're existing in right now, school can be a very dangerous place.
And I never knew I was going to get to the stage where I have a son, right? When I was going to school, like school used to be like a place where a parent was happy to send kids to there, you know, like, yeah, go there, you're going to learn. But now I'm not going to lie to you. for me, it's like one of the most scary place for me. Like, you know,
yeah.
And the more the children grow up, the more I feel nervous. Like, yeah, I think it's very, I think the only part is the nursery, but after the nursery, I just feel like I'm very nervous about sending, right. Like, you know, when children go to school, yeah.
I don't know that I could do it. My husband and I were talking about the other day, you know, we're in this place where we're raising grandchildren. And I'm like, how grateful am I that I don't have small kids and having to make this decision, because yeah. I see myself building the classroom at my house, pulling in my tribe of people and going, all right, what's your lane? Who's best at science? We pull all the people together, because I think that that is the only way right now you get an opportunity to teach your children from all sides.
Mm.
I think that this, what they're doing to the school system and to the environment and to the exclusion of parents, I think they're creating a very, I don't want to say unhealthy, but maybe.
Yeah, situation. I mean, it is unhealthy, yeah. Because yeah,
it's unhealthy. I watched a video of a mom a couple of days ago practicing with her first grader on how to avoid being a victim of a school shooter with his bulletproof Spider-Man backpack. I don't think so, Scooter. Right? I don't want to have conversation with my six-year-old in his bulletproof backpack. We're going to stay home. We're going to learn how to bake and add and read and change the tire and mow the yard and be nice to the neighbor. No, right? I feel like I would have to come home and get, all right, what'd you learn today that we need to unlearn?
Hmm.
Right. Yeah. And just that fear. So yeah, I would not be, I'm not a proponent. And when my kids were growing up, I never thought twice.
Yeah.
Never thought twice about putting them on the school bus, dropping them off at the school. Have a great day. Never considered their safety or their mental and emotional health being at risk.
Yeah. Even like walking out of school to come back home is very, you know, I'm very nervous about it. Like, is it really, I can't wait for them to go to university, become an adult, because trust me, it's very, it's a lot of pressure. But it's a lot of pressure only when you acknowledge the society that we're living today and the whole way things have changed. The same people, they don't feel the same way because they just like accept it that way and they just embrace it. For them, it's actually normal. But yeah.
No, it's a crazy place out there. I would so educate mine at home. I mean, if you look at the tribe that you have, right? Who are your friends? Who are the people that you're raising your children around? I mean, that's the people that are going to step in and help you raise your children, right? Takes that village. Mm-hmm. So which one of them is good at math, right? Which one of those other stay-at-home moms is great at art? That's my teacher, right? And I think we can create that educational environment where we can teach our children from all sides. And we can, I mean, I knew when I was growing up, I wasn't taught judgment. I wasn't taught, none of those things were even real for me, right? We just loved everybody. And we were taught to treat everybody the same. And I grew up in that world of the golden rule. You treat people the way you want people to treat you regardless, right? And in the world where you can be anything, be kind, because you don't know what somebody else's journey is about.
I think it's hard for us as well, because I know you have like, you don't have like small kids anymore, but like if you're trying to put yourself on like parents today, right?
Yeah.
Like myself, I grew up in a town where parents, like, there's a lot of conversation, like, you know, everyone you come, like sexual conversation, a lot of things. We didn't have those kind of conversation with parents, like, right. And even about religion as well. If you are Christian, you're Christian. If you're Muslim, you're Muslim. We go to church, you know, go to mosque, whatever you do. But we didn't really have those kind of deep conversation with children. But today we feel like we are forced to have those kind of conversation with them.
Yeah.
Because if we don't have because if we don't have those conversation with them outside, they don't treat them like kids anymore. Because our parents, maybe they didn't have those conversations because they was like, you know what, they're just children, they're going to grow up, they're going to understand things better, they're going to learn with life. But now I don't think they give children time to learn with life. Now it's more like, oh, you know what, this is how you have to be, no matter what your parents think, and just take it.
Okay, so well, is that because from the time that they're old enough to pay attention, we give them a phone or a laptop or a tablet and the social media and the internet, and we absorb them in that world that is not real from the time they're little? I mean, little two-year-olds sucked into Coco Melon on mama's phone over there beside, so she's quiet. What is that? Is that our fault? Maybe. Right? Has that become our go-to in society?
Yeah, but when we was kids, we were still I remember we didn't have tablet, but we were still watching cartoon on TV, a lot of cartoon, a lot of movie.
Right, but wasn't the Flintstones different than what you see on the internet today?
Yeah, I'm asking if it's different.
Is it different? I mean, what we saw as children, right? We have instantaneous access, right?
Yeah.
Let's have a random example. The conflict in Palestine. How random is that, right? Been happening for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Right? And until we knew about it every moment of every day, how much time did people spend worrying about it? Not that it wasn't real, right? But the fact that we see it in real time immediately brings it right home into our living room. I think our children are the same way. We don't give them an opportunity to experience life and to learn life. We expose it to them at 2 years old. We put it in their face. Here's life. We don't give them the opportunity to have a tackle box instead of an Xbox.
Mm.
Right? It's a video game instead of a bicycle.
Yeah. I agree. I think they're having too much information. And then the thing is, I think they are becoming addicted as well at a young age.
Yep. If you talk to a child psychiatrist, you spend any time in the adolescent behavioral health field, they'll tell you one of the very first things they instruct parents to do when you come in with a child with ADHD and behavioral issues is to cut off all the electronics, because the white noise that they put out is what's addicting. They're addicted to the sound behind it. So if you have a kid that acts bad in the grocery store, put a baseball cap on them when you go in, and it filters out that flash and that fluorescent light. It's like a strobe light in their little brains. If you filter that out, they behave differently in the grocery store. And so what can we filter out of their lives, right? Turn the noise off. It's on the iPads, the phones, everything they use electronic has that white noise hum behind it. And that's what they become addicted to. They miss the noise.
Yeah, it's true. I think parent addicted as well is hard when you're addicted to something and then you're trying to break, ask the kids to not be addicted to the same thing, because as you say, they watch you when you do things. Don't do this, but you spend a lot of time on your phone as well. Right. And they can only follow what you're actually doing. I think we have to learn how to fight our own addiction before we actually starting to tell the kids. But it's very hard, you know, it's difficult, but it's part of the problem, you know. Like, we talk about mental health, yes, but this is part of, when you add everything, it's part of the whole problem in today's society. Kids are getting addicted in a very young age, and because of, as you say, when they use the electronic device as well, they believe like they are another world, and when they come out, they don't like the reality of we living right now today.
Right.
You know, you have internet at home. If you just like switch off your internet, the whole house gonna go crazy.
And that's sad. Right? That's sad that the house would lose their mind if you shut the internet off.
Big house, a lot of children in the living room. As soon as you actually, you unplug the internet, you're going to see a lot of people coming downstairs. Everybody just asking questions about everything.
Wow, what's up with the internet? Go outside, right? I was keeping my grandchildren a couple of weeks ago. Their parents were out of town, and we got up on a Thursday morning, and one of them, came downstairs and said, "Hey, Gam, can I watch a movie?" And I said, "No, didn't anybody tell you? This is No Technology Thursday." And I like it.
No technology.
All day long. No
TV. I think I'll put in my house. That's good.
There you go. We had play outside all day. We didn't get to, no electronic devices until 9 o'clock, and then it was bedtime. So worked out. We didn't turn the TV on all day.
Wow. That's a very good thing.
They were young enough to buy it, right? So it worked out perfectly.
Okay. I think it was really nice to have this conversation with you. But do you feel like there's something like you want to tell people, something like we haven't went through something about mental health and today's society? Just something like people that actually listen to us today, you feel like they can't relate to this. And what can you tell them?
Sometimes admitting the fact that you can't manage that on your own is the hardest part. But you'll find so many people around that will come alongside you and help you get it. Like, God will do that. He will just open that door once you're willing to step through it. And watch, pay attention when you're looking, what are you seeing? Are you seeing what you're looking at?
Mm.
Are you hearing what you're listening to? Right? Can you tell if someone is reaching out and needs a hand or a shoulder or a heart? You can do that, right? And encourage them. So don't get caught up in the system. Don't get lost in it. Don't blame the system for where you're at. Those are the decisions that we make every day that take us to where we are. We are living the reality we chose to live.
And two more questions before you go.
Yes, ma'am.
The first
Yes.
one is going to be concern the parents today. What can you tell to the parent who are struggling today? Because I know like a lot of parents can relate to this. Like, you know, because of their environment. Well, you know, what advice can you give them?
Best advice you can give their parents is be their parent. You can be their friend when they're 25. Right now, be their parent. Let them see what you need them to be in the world, what they're expecting is. Be that for them. Model it. Don't just speak it.
Yes.
So walk beside them, coach them through life.
And the other thing is, do you think church today is playing the part a lot? Or is he not? Do you think church is doing enough today? Do you think church today acknowledge the problem? Because I feel like I'm really having those kind of conversations in church.
You know, I think we forgot along the way that we're the church.
Oh, yeah.
We became very caught up in whether we're a good Baptist or a good Methodist or a good Catholic or a good whatever.
Yeah.
And that part of it is not doing well because it's turning out to be very hypocritical. I mean, where are all the people right now with answers the last couple of years?
We're trying to be correct. I think the church starting to take that sensitive part as well now. I mean, the church is becoming a little bit like more very sensitive now about the conversation about what to say as well. I don't think it's making things worse. I mean, he's just playing the part.
Yeah, we need to pull the power back and recognize that we are the church, right? Okay. We are the church, not the rules, not the walls. We as the people.
Yeah, that's true. You don't have to wait for the church to actually do that. Us as people, Amen. We can actually do that. Is anything else that you actually work, anything that you are working on, something that you want people to know about? Do people reach out to you or anything I can actually tell people?
We do. I have a coaching program. I think they've beat that word up the last couple of years, right? And everybody's a coach of something. And so I'm almost hesitant to use that word.
What word? Coach.
I'll say a personal development. Yeah, coach is kind of scary. I know.
They beat it up. Yeah, it's just like before you can do that, but now it's just too much.
Yeah. So really what we do, I have a business called Enlighten Up, and we just come alongside you and help you recognize that you have a story to write that no one else can write. Right, that God looked down and gave you this story, and we want you to be empowered by that. I want to see you shine, want to write your story. So we do a lot of personal development. We do a lot of character integrity development. We do a lot of becoming a person of influence. Mm. I don't have a price guide or a cookie cutter because everybody's individual, and whatever you need, that's what you need. And yes, so we figure out what you need, and then we find our place in it all along the way. You can always reach out to me at enlightenup.stacyj@gmail.com, and we can talk any of those programs you want to. You can also reach out to us at herobuilder2020@gmail.com if you'd like to find out about our podcast.
Yes.
We run two. One is called Midweek Mind Candy, and the other is called Uncaped Heroes. And we'd love to have you.
Again, Tracy, like, thank you. I really appreciate having you today, man. Like, it was really like a good conversation. What you say, I feel like I have more things I want to talk to you but next time I think I want to talk about the whole, because I know if you are very passionate about children as well, you care about them, about the education as well. I think next time I want to talk about the, you know, education at home, or, you know, against education actually at school, you know, like the learning system. I believe maybe is better for people. I think people are a little bit scared to actually do the whole thing at home because we feel like children is not going to be advanced because there's a lot of pressures on the parent. How am I going to do if I'm not a teacher? Or some people, they cannot really afford to actually, you know, to give those kind of, to give the knowledge at home to the children, to the kids, because they're not a teacher. They don't know how to do the math and how to do the English. So I think that's the most scary part as well. I don't know if there's an alternative or the way to do that. But I think next time I'm really going to talk, you know, I want to have that conversation with you. Maybe you can actually give us some tips, or maybe it's not as hard as people think it is. Because for me, it sounds more like I need to have a lot of knowledge. I'm going to have a bunch of books I don't even know how to explain to the kids.
They'll walk you through it. It's amazingly easier than you think it is. All you got to do is love them. You can figure it out. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you again for having you today, and see you next time.
See you next time. Be safe and well.
Thank you.